Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thing with Floyd is that he died of drug he ingested a bunch of drugs while he was running, and they found fentanyl, meth, and cocaine. And the next thing is just bogus, because if he's talking, no, he's not obstructed. Okay, it just doesn't work that way. He died of a drug overdose because a couple of the bags broke. I know that for a fact. I've been in medicine for 50 years. I got people that I know that work the pathology. They, shot me the report, the real autopsy report, not this one that they paid. The other thing with this this recent one in Kenosha is a lawyer got there before the ambulance, which is really unusual. So I'm not sure if it was really staged or whatever, okay, because I'm noticing all these little incidences, and all of a sudden the cops are wrong. I went through 3 wars in my 33 years in the military. The one thing they teach you is if you think, you die. You got to trust your instincts. This guy tries to go into his car. You darn sure know he's got a gun in there. And the guy was a convicted criminal along with Floyd. So, I don't get it. I don't get why they idolize people that do stupid things. And that's just one of my biggest pet peeves. I don't care if you're black, white, purple, or whatever, like the other gentleman said. It doesn't make any difference. Life is precious. I mean, that's one thing I learned. I got hurt twice, got 2 purple hearts. That doesn't mean anything. It means a lot to me because I survived. But my problem is that the racism, I can't deal with the racism anymore. I'm tired of hearing, you guys have a great programs, but it's just, an unarmed, I don't get it. It just doesn't fit the plan, because everybody is armed. I packed since I've been in Buffalo. I spent 3 years in Buffalo, and I've got a couple of jobs. I have a job offer. I'm going overseas, and I'm going to stay there. COVID comes, it kind of screws the economy up. Now, this Black Lives, it's been around forever, and they have shootings every day of the week on black people. All of a sudden, because of the election, I think it's, with the election. And then the biggest thing that I have is you lost me on the sports things. When people have to spend $5,000 to advertise in a stadium with the advertisements, and Black Lives gets out there and puts their big old banner, I don't want to look at that. I don't want people to sit there and have it on the back of their jersey or on their football helmets. It just, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I don't know if everybody else thinks the same way.
Well, Bill in Florida, that is Bill's opinion. Bill, thank you so much. And thank you for your service in the military, 33 years. You guys have heard me say, if the MLB, the NBA, the NFL, if that's what they want to do, again, if you want to say Black Lives Matter, of course Black Lives Matter. It's the organization BLM where people have their problems. It's nothing with the message. Of course Black Lives Matter. No one's debating that. I think it's what the organization that's named Black Lives Matter is what people take issue with. But as you know, I'm a diehard sports fan, and of course I'm still going to watch sports. We've had that show before. So that's that. But Bill, thank you for your call. And Bill laid out a few of his opinions. We would like yours. 803-0930. Mark in Buffalo is next. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Joe. First time I've spoken to you. You called a couple times the station. And congratulations on filling in different places. I'm really, really angry. And I'm angry because, like most things now, this has all become weaponized. No evidence, just automatically it's cops' fault. You know, if you have nothing to hide, you know, then hold your hands up, you know, and show that you have no weapon. You know, when you're given a lawful order by a policeman or a police person, you know, you need to follow that because they don't know that you're reaching for a gun or a knife or a hand grenade. You know, and this is just so bad. It's deliberate, and I can't believe that. You know, I understand the left, you know, because they have an agenda, most of it. Okay, but there's a lot of people that are saying this, and they're just stupid. I mean, you know, when they need the police, they're the first one to call it. You know, I mean, this is unbelievable. How the police are automatically wrong. Hey, if they're wrong, they're wrong. But let's have some evidence, you know. Let's just not, you know, call him guilty right from the beginning.
Yeah, Mark, thanks for the call. Exactly. You know, it's very dangerous, not only to the police. It's dangerous to most citizens, no matter your color. It's dangerous when all of a sudden, without evidence, you start saying the police are bad. Now, I want to play this clip from LeBron James. Listen to how he starts this.
If you're sitting here telling me that there was no way to subdue that gentleman or detain him or to just before the firing of guns.
Well, they did. He wrestled with him. Instead of LeBron James saying, hey, don't resist arrest, shouldn't that be the message? Don't resist arrest. After seeing that, instead of just automatically going to the conclusion the cops were wrong, instead of just the first thing in your mind is the cops are wrong, shouldn't you go, well, they did try. He resisted arrest. Instead of saying, well, shouldn't the cops have done more to arrest him? Shouldn't LeBron James say, hey, you know, don't resist arrest. And when we have more evidence, and when I have more facts, then I'll say more. That's what politicians should be saying. That's what the media should be saying. Don't resist arrest. Are we going to argue about should you resist arrest or not? Here's more of what he said.
Then you sitting here, you lying to not only me, you lying to every African American, every black person in the community, because we see it over and over and over. There was multiple, if you watch the video, there was multiple moments where if they wanted to, they could have tackled him. They could have grabbed him.
You know? How about he could have just stopped resisting? I mean, am I wrong? Tell me if I'm wrong. The message should be, don't resist arrest. And that should be the message to everyone. No matter the color of your skin, it shouldn't be a black or white issue. Don't resist arrest. Again, here's a guy, you know, to Drew's point, Drew who called last hour, who said, well, maybe he was seeing things on TV. And that's Drew's point. And guess what? I appreciate Drew calling. I hope Drew calls more often. I hope Drew calls in every day. I like hearing a different point of view, and I'm glad that Drew called in, okay? I'm hoping to hear from more of them. We don't have to agree to enjoy someone's call, and I did enjoy having a back and forth with Drew, and I hope more people who disagree with me call in. I enjoyed that. I like hearing the other side. I like hearing a different opinion. But to Drew's point, the man was just arrested a month ago. Obviously without incident. So I'm not sure why he was resisting this time. And for LeBron James to say, well, the cops could have done more, that I think that's the wrong message. Again, automatically, police are bad. Instead of, from my initial viewing of this video, Mr. Blake shouldn't have resisted arrest. You know what? Maybe the cops acted poorly. Maybe Jacob Blake was reaching for something. Let me get the facts. Let me see how the investigation plays out. That would be the responsible thing to do. And that would be the responsible thing to do, not only for LeBron James, but for the media, for Joe Biden, for Kamala Harris. But no, you automatically play right into, look what the police did. I mean, look at this. This is wrong. We can't stop. We have to fight. And now look what's happening. You've got riots. You've got looting. You've got cities being burnt down. And the leaders of those cities, of those states, refusing to have help from the president. Let's get to these calls. Cheryl in Lockport, you are up.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, Cheryl.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. What do you think?
I have to tell you, you are so good at this, and you're just getting better and better and better.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And I so miss you and Tony and Sandy together. I just really do.
Well, we know Sandy's enjoying retirement, and let me tell you, I'm having a lot of fun working with Tony and David in the morning.
Yeah, I know you are. It's getting easier for you guys, I can tell. You guys are laughing more and stuff, so that's a good thing. And if you could just tell Sandy for me congratulations on this wedding, I'd appreciate it.
I will. I'm looking forward to September 5th for Sandy's wedding. We'll have a good time, and you know I'll bring back a report that Monday.
Oh, yeah, I know. But now I want to say the man that called in, and I don't know how many calls he was ago, but the one that called in, they had his own opinion of Black Lives Matter. And that man was so nervous and so scared. I could hear it in his voice. And you made him feel so comfortable to be able to talk and let him voice that. You have all my respect.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. Yeah, I like to have the other opinion. I want them to feel comfortable to be able to call in and share that. I think that's better not only for people that have a different opinion than me, but for the people who share my opinion. I think it's nice to get a different perspective.
It is, but to have you do that for him, oh my God, that was wonderful, Joe. I mean, just wonderful.
Thank you, Cheryl. So, Cheryl, what do you think about the situation out in Wisconsin?
Well, I'm tired of the news. I'm tired of the media. I'm tired of TV. I'm tired of people jumping to conclusions. I'm tired of the riots. I'm tired of people killing people. And it's all just, I just get so angry. I get so frustrated because you don't really know what that guy did. You can assume, but we all know what that means, you know?
Yeah, you know what they say when you assume. That's why I think it's just the more responsible thing, Cheryl, and I'm hearing more and more of it from the callers and on the text board, is let's wait to see this thing play out because you only get trouble if you jump to conclusions without evidence.
And you do so much wrong to the person.
Right.
You know? You do so much wrong to that person. Now, in Floyd, in his case, everybody thought it was the cop's fault. But come to find out, that guy shot up.
Yeah, but Cheryl, I think you still look at what that cop did with the man, with George Floyd in handcuffs. That wasn't justified. You know, no matter how his fentanyl level was, the officer's knee never should have been on his neck.
No. I so agree with that one. It should never, and he should be punished.
Yep, 100%. Cheryl, thank you so much for the call and the compliments. Cheryl in Lockport opens a line for you at 803-0930. And that's the thing. You know, we the George Floyd situation, you can say what you want about the levels of fentanyl in the report after his death, but that officer, regardless, had George Floyd in handcuffs and put his knee on his neck. That was completely uncalled for. That was not justified, and that officer should be punished to the fullest extent. I think most people, if not all people, agree on that. That is something we agree on. But that doesn't mean, because we see what happened in Wisconsin, that we automatically go, well, since that's what happened in Minnesota, it automatically means the officer was in the wrong in Wisconsin. And Don Jr. said it perfectly on Monday. You know, there are police officers who see the George Floyd incident, and guess what? Most of them think that was awful too and unjustified and hope that guy gets punished to the fullest extent. because bad cops are obviously bad for everyone, including most police who protect us, who are great people. They protect you no matter the color of your skin, no matter your gender, no matter anything. Their job is to protect you. And they see what happened in Minnesota and they think it's just as awful as you think it is. All right, we're getting to your calls. And also, I have a clip from Gavin Newsom I'm going to play in the 6 o'clock hour that I think you'll enjoy here on WBEN.
Drove downtown in the rain, 9:30 on a Tuesday night, just to check out the late night record shop. Call it impulsive, call it compulsive, call it insane. When I'm surrounded, I just can't stop. It's a matter of instinct, it's a matter of conditioning, a matter of fact. You can call me Pavlov, dog. Ring a bell and I'll salivate. How'd you like that? Dr. Landy, tell me you're not just a pedagogue. Cause right now I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did. Well, I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did.
Welcome back. Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. That song was labeled wrong in the system, but it's a good song no matter what. Before we get right back to calls, and we will. Want to give you an update on what's going on in the NBA bubble. Yeah, the Milwaukee Bucks said, yeah, we're not playing.
I'm told was a player's decision. They made this decision to boycott this game. And what the ramifications are now for the Bucks, they were leading 3-1 in the series. But this is a moment in time, a moment in history. We have never seen this. I'm told that even at the highest levels of the Bucks organization, they weren't, it wasn't clear to them that this was going to happen. The Magic came out on the court. They warmed up like they normally would for a playoff game. The first horn sounded. The Bucks weren't out yet. I got wind that they were discussing a boycott, and Malika Andrews was there on the scene. She could see league officials moving into or outside the locker room area.
So all the NBA playoff games for today have been canceled due to a boycott again, because according to LeBron James, well, couldn't the police have done more with the guy that was resisting arrest? They have no evidence. They have no facts on either side of the argument. You have no facts to say the police were right, the police were wrong. Okay. But now we have the NBA, and that's all anyone's going to talk about today is the NBA boycotted over Jacob Blake. And what do they want? They want those officers to be arrested for what? For right now, for nothing, because there's no evidence that what they did wasn't justified. Now, if that evidence comes out, believe me, those officers will be arrested. They will be put on trial. They will be punished to the fullest extent. I mean, do they want reaction without any investigation? Is that where they want to go? Regardless, no matter if their life was in danger, no matter what the person did, if a police fires their gun, automatically arrested and thrown in jail. Is that what they want? Again, we don't know the facts. We are talking about a guy who was, from the video I saw, resisting arrest and reached into his car. And what does LeBron James say? Well, couldn't the police have done more? I think the message should be, don't resist arrest. That should be the message. Let's go to North Tonawanda and talk to Jim. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, guy. Joe, right?
Yeah. What's up, Rambo?
Yeah. Joe, I want all the people right now that are listening to open up their ears, sit up straight, and pay attention. when a police officer and a peace officer, in the performance of his or her lawful duty, uses deadly force, the courts have decreed that there are three pre-existing conditions that must exist before that police officer or peace officer can use deadly force. Those three pre-existing conditions are as follows: ability, opportunity, and jeopardy. Now I'm going to break it down for you. Ability: the individual that you're using deadly force against must have the ability to cause serious physical harm or possible death to you or a third party. Number two, opportunity: the opportunity must have already presented itself. Three, jeopardy: that individual must have already done something that placed your life in serious physical jeopardy or could cause possible death to you or a third party. Now, it just so happens when the Rodney King incident happened, Daryl Gates was the police chief of the Los Angeles Police Department. He related in his book, the title of his book was My Life on the Los Angeles Police Department. When he was the chief of police of Los Angeles Police Department, he used this example. A white police officer and a black police officer were called to the scene where a black woman who had a history of mental illness was out in front of her house. She was raving, ranting, screaming, and she had a butcher knife in her hand. The white officer and the black officer got out of their patrol car, gave her several verbal commands: drop the knife, drop the knife, from both the white officer and the black officer. She continued advancing in the direction of the white officer and the black officer. The white officer hesitated. He wasn't sure. The black officer did not. He shot and killed that black woman. Ability, opportunity, and jeopardy were present when that black officer pulled the trigger. However, in the investigation, Daryl Gates brought out the point. It was a legal shooting. Okay, fine. The police were legally justified in taking the life of this black officer. Black woman, I mean. However, like Daryl Gates said, maybe if the white officer and the black officer were both young guys in tip-top physical condition, maximum strength and speed, and they were in the prime of their life, both in their 20s, and they were both, you know, athletic guys. Like he said, if they had pulled their batons and maybe used baton strikes, ganged up on her and struck her with their batons, he said to them, do you think maybe you could have forced her to drop the knife? Well, the black officer said, well, I didn't want to give her a chance to, you know, all right, it was a justifiable homicide. But there are instances where the police are using deadly force. Like, for instance, in that black guy I heard, according to what I heard, the black guy ran around and he reached inside of his car.
That's the video I saw. He wrestled away from the police and then went to the driver's side of the car and reached in.
I'll tell you what, he can wrestle away all he wants, but it would seem to me if there were at least a couple of cops there on the scene, why didn't they use their batons? And he, fine, he doesn't want to comply. Well, let's just see after he's been struck about a dozen times with police batons if that'll change his mind. Now, I can tell you after 25 years in the prison business, there was times when we had inmates that would not comply. Myself or another corrections officer struck the inmates with our batons. And also, on the use of a baton, one of the quickest ways to gain compliance is called pain compliance. You'd use your baton as a choking device. You cut off his oxygen to his when you get on his chest and place the baton against his neck, and you press down with all your strength. I had one guy that tapped out when I did that, and I said, okay, I'm going to get off you. Just turn over on your stomach, put your hands behind your back so the sergeant can put the handcuffs on you. He complied. There's a thing called pain compliance. But another point I want to make, police officers today, this is war. I don't care what the liberals try to tell you. We are now in a state of war in our streets. We need police officers that are distance runners, weightlifters, martial arts types, male and female, that can handle themselves in these situations, maybe without killing someone.
Rambo Jim, thanks for the call. That's Rambo Jim. He was a corrections officer, so he knows this stuff firsthand. And he said maybe the officers could have done something else before shooting him if they had multiple police officers and used their batons instead of their guns. Again, I'm going to wait until the investigation. You know, there's a story out today that kid, 17, charged with shooting three people, murdering two people. Well, of course, that kid, unless he was being threatened, unless he was being shot at, that kid should be punished to the fullest extent. He's being charged with murder. And unless something comes out that his life was in danger, that he was practicing self-defense, well, of course, that kid should be punished to the fullest extent. Because someone texted in, why aren't you addressing the kid that was arrested today? To be honest, I don't know much about it. But I have the article right now. He was arrested in Illinois, charged with double murder. And, of course, if the facts back that up, if his life was not in danger, which it doesn't seem it was, if he murdered two people, then he should be charged to the fullest extent. It goes for everybody. But again, I'm sick of everyone just jumping to a conclusion. I'm sick of everyone just pointing their fingers, no matter what, right to the cop. Like it's automatically the cop's fault. Believe me, if the investigation comes out that the cops were in the wrong, of course protest. Of course demand change. Those officers will be charged to the fullest extent. They will be punished. They will probably spend the rest of their life in prison if the facts back up that they were in the wrong. But again, I've seen a video where the man is resisting arrest. And if it comes out he had a weapon in his car, like I said, it doesn't matter if it was Jacob Blake or Joe Beamer. If he's reaching in his car for a weapon after resisting arrest, the police are probably going to shoot, black or white. I'm not sure what LeBron James wants. Does LeBron James want the police to wait until the gun is being fired at them? I mean, is that what they want? I'm really not understanding the point of view. And again, I just think it's ridiculously irresponsible of politicians, of public figures, of the media, to immediately conclude the cops were wrong. And now you've got the NBA boycotting the rest of the day of games because they think those officers should be arrested. Again, the investigation's not complete. There's no facts to back up what they're saying. But guess what? I'll tell them this. I'll tell everyone this. LeBron James, the NBA, guess what? CNN, Joe Biden, guess what? If it comes out that those cops acted wrong, that it was not a justified shooting, before the report can make it to news, they'll be arrested. They'll be charged. You can bank on that. So, here's the thing. I've said this before, too. You know, LeBron James wants to voice his opinion. That's fine. He has a platform to do so. He can go campaign for Joe Biden, as he said he's going to do. He can wear whatever he wants on his jersey, which he's actually one of the players that is not wearing anything on his jersey. I just think it's irresponsible in his comment to say, well, what else can the police do? Well, what could Jacob Blake do? If LeBron and I saw the same video, which I think we did, shouldn't his first message be, don't resist arrest? Isn't that the responsible thing to do? I just think it's so irresponsible. And again, I have no issue with LeBron James or anyone in the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, the MLB. I have no problem with them expressing their political opinions. That does not bother me. You want to use your platform to express your opinion? I mean, I wish you wouldn't during the game because the game is my escape from reality. But you want to use your pre or post-game press conference about it? You want to tweet about it? You want to go campaign? You have every right to do so. I have no problem with that. And it doesn't take away from the fact that LeBron James is one of the best athletes of our lifetime. It doesn't take away from that. I just think it's ridiculously irresponsible to go out there and say things without any facts. And as a public figure, I think you have a little bit of a duty to have at least some facts, some evidence to back up what you're saying. And he has none. Let's go to Emily in Niagara. Emily, good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I totally agree with you. I think that LeBron James, maybe he's great at sports, that's nice. A lot of people just don't care what he thinks, and I think he needs to show restraint. And he's entitled to his opinion, sure, but because of his position, he's going to probably bias other people, and now the whole NBA is involved, and they don't even really know all the details. I mean, nobody knows, and it's just, I'm just tired of people using their celebrity status to try to push the agenda. So now it's going to be the trendy thing for the media and celebrities to get on board with this, even though they don't have the information.
And just think of this. What if the investigation comes back that the police were acting with just cause, that they were in a position where, you know, their lives were at risk and they had to shoot? He was reaching for a weapon. I mean, how's the media going to 180 this? They've already said that these cops should be in jail.
Right, exactly. And so then what about those people's lives? You know, do they matter? What about their kids? What about their lives? And I'm not, like, pro-police. I'm not anti-police. I'm very neutral. But if someone has a gun towards me and I have a gun, am I wrong to defend myself? Are they wrong? And if it was just some, you know, middle-aged white guy or somebody that this happened to and they died or something happened, nobody would care. But it's just politicized, and the media gloms onto it, and they're using this person, this tragedy, in order to make themselves important. And I totally agree that, you know, LeBron James is a great athlete, but who cares what he thinks? I mean, what type of expert is he? Why does his opinion matter so much?
Emily, thank you for the call. That's Emily in Niagara opening up a line for you at 803-0930. She's right. I mean, like I said, if LeBron wants to voice his opinion, that's fine. I applaud him to do so. He's definitely worked up the platform. He's a great athlete. You know, he's done some great things for his local community. No doubt about that. I just think it's irresponsible for him to speak up as he did without any kind of facts. I would applaud him if he said, don't resist arrest. That's, I think, what the message should be. But to go out there and kind of feed the chaos without any evidence, without any facts, I think is totally irresponsible. We will continue taking your calls on this. I'm also going to throw some other topics out there for the last hour. It's Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I could definitely play this out but we would be at the bottom of the hour news if I let this song play out. And I don't think I have that big of an ego, but my ego is a little too big to let that much time waste without my voice. It is Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, the final hour. We'll be back here tomorrow, though. Don't worry about that. I would like to, later in this hour, preview what we're going to see tonight at the RNC, but I have a full bank of calls, and it would be a disservice if I didn't get to you. Mike in Buffalo will kick off.
Hi, I'm just going to get right to the point. You know, this entire incident is a tragedy for the Blake family. It's a tragedy for the police officers, and it's a tragedy for the community that lost so much property through riots and vandals. I came across a media site called Newsbreak, and I'm going to read a small segment of this story that I came across. And it's as follows. The last directive issued by the officers prior to the shots fired was, drop the knife. This is according to an interview with 22-year-old Rayshawn White of Kenosha, who took the latest cell phone video. Well, that sort of changes anybody's narrative right there. Now you have an eyewitness saying the last directive by police officers, drop the knife. That changes LeBron James and everybody else. It should change their narrative because now we got a witness stating something that's contrary to what everybody else is believing. And I'll leave it at that.
All right, Mike in Buffalo, that's the first I've heard of that. If the police were directing him to drop a weapon, again, in my opinion, this all comes down, and we'll see when the facts get there. This all comes down to a man resisting arrest. If that man had a weapon, I mean, of course the police were going to do everything they can to detain him, but when is enough enough? I guess my whole thing is this would have been avoided if he didn't resist arrest. And to the argument that Drew gave us that maybe everything he's seen on TV, he was just arrested without incidents a month ago. I mean, this isn't a guy that was a first-timer being arrested. But again, we have to wait for the facts to come out, and I don't want to keep repeating myself. I want to hear what you have to say, and Paul in Tonawanda is next.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Paul. What do you got for us?
Now listen, if they would comply with the officer's request, right? That's it. It's done and over with. All these incidents over the past 6, 7, 10, whatever, it'd be over. Now, if they're going to protest, that's fine. Okay. But make it legal. Don't go there with baseball bats and hammers in a shopping cart and think they're going to protest. That's a riot. It's not a protest.
Right, and you know, and Paul, I try to make that point, you know, every time we have this discussion, is nothing wrong with protests, but when buildings are starting to burn, when you're locking people in buildings and trying to set it on fire, we're no longer talking about a protest.
No. And another thing, I mean, if you're going to shoot, maybe the first bullet should be rubber, okay? And then you could think again, and then hit them with the second one. However, Why not shoot him in the shoulder or in the leg? You don't have to shoot to kill.
All right, Paul in Tonawanda, thank you for the call. Opens up a line for you at 803-0930. Let's go to Darian. Darian, good afternoon.
Hey, sir, great show. I really appreciate you taking my call, and I really appreciated the intro there, Frampton. Can't go wrong there.
No, not at all. It was a few years ago he did the anniversary tour of that album. It was a great concert.
Yes, sir. Okay, so let me just say this. This a lot of this is predicated on a lie. Okay, I'll bring you back to Ferguson. Hands up, don't shoot. The gentle giant, you know, Michael Brown, hands up, don't shoot, was later seen on video grabbing for the cop's gun, and therefore he was, you know, dispensed. Okay, so that there's the birth of Black Lives Matter. Now fast forward to Minneapolis. Okay, the cop's knee did not kill George Floyd. It did not kill George Floyd. George Floyd died of a heart attack. The knee on the neck might not be called for. However, it did not cause his death. You could see he was dying due to his condition and his drug influence. But the cops, in this case, if they're going to be charged with murder, they're going to walk. They're going to walk. That might not have been the best police procedure to detain him, but it did not kill him. So I will close with that. Appreciate the show, and take care.
Thank you for the call. That may be true, and we're starting to see more evidence that maybe it wasn't the knee that killed George Floyd, but the knee was not necessary. And he put his knee on his neck for over 8 minutes. So it contributed to his death. As far as I'm concerned, it contributed to his death. And that police officer deserves the maximum punishment, in my opinion, for the murder of George Floyd. Because that knee on his neck, no matter how many drugs were in his system, the knee on his neck was uncalled for. There was no justification for that. And I hope that officer, obviously, will see his day in court, and I hope he is punished to the fullest extent. Now, maybe there were other factors into George Floyd's death, but the knee for over 8 minutes was not justified. It was not called for, and from what I saw, it probably did contribute to the death of George Floyd. And again, I'm my stance on that. I think the officer should be punished to the fullest, and we'll see what happens. 803-0930. And we'll see how this plays out tonight. You know, Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo had an interesting discussion yesterday on CNN. Now, before yesterday, CNN had taken a break from showing any kind of riots because that wasn't helping the Democrats. Seeing these riots was not helping the Democrats. So CNN would only talk about peaceful protesters. CNN would not show the videos from Portland, would not show the Seattle situation. They didn't show it. They would show a tweet from the president talking about the riots and then show peaceful protests. So if you watch CNN, if you're so close-minded that you don't press the channel up button on your remote at all. And again, I would say to everyone listening to my voice right now, watch CNN tonight during the RNC. Watch MSNBC during the RNC tonight. It will give you a completely different perspective. And I think it's important to see how people who don't agree with you think of something, how they react. Like I said, I have to applaud CNN. They've shown more of the RNC than anyone else. But they also will cut in what I think are strategic times. Yesterday, the Attorney General of Kentucky, I talked about this in the first hour, he spoke in the 10 o'clock hour. NBC didn't carry it. Now, we're talking about a man, the first African-American attorney general in the state of Kentucky, a Republican. NBC didn't show it. They also didn't tweet any video of it. It was the only speaker of the night they didn't tweet video of. Now, again, I'm not surprised. I'm not going to pretend that I'm shocked by it. But I think it's important to just illustrate a bias that we are seeing in the coverage of events. It's nothing new. So tonight I would ask you, for 10, 20 minutes, watch CNN's coverage of the RNC or CBS or NBC. I've been watching a lot of it on C-SPAN. I wish C-SPAN had an HD feed, but I have been watching most of it on C-SPAN because they show the whole thing. But I would say, 11 o'clock when it's over, if you don't have to go right to bed, watch CNN for 20 minutes. Because they will say things, their analysis of it will be so different than what you thought you saw. And I think it's very, very important for people that think like me to see what people on the left, and when we're talking CNN, I think we're talking about some on the extreme left, how they saw the exact same thing and came to a different conclusion. So I think that's important. But to my point, CNN was not showing the riots. They were not showing what was going on in these cities night after night. And the only reason they were doing that was for when the president or someone on the Republican side of the aisle tweeted about riots. They said, well, there's no riots. It's just these peaceful protesters. But then last night, Don Lemon finally, he said the quiet part out loud. To the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, Eddie, that was my opinion. And you're right. Maybe I need to look at the facts more. But that was my opinion on that. And that's all I can say. But Eddie called me a fool for a previous statement. All I'm going to say is, I probably could look at facts. I was giving my opinion. And yes, I've been preaching, know the facts before you say something for 3 hours. And then I came out with my opinion. So, Eddie, you make a fair point. I apologize. Okay, so now CNN, who barely talked about the riots, here's what Don Lemon had to say yesterday.
I do think that this, what you said, what's happening in Kenosha is a Rorschach test for the entire country. And I think this is a blind spot for Democrats. I think Democrats are ignoring this problem or hoping that it will go away. And it's not going to go away. And so, unless someone comes up with a solution over the next 73 days or 70, so however many days.
68 days.
So it's not going to, the problem is not going to be fixed by then. But what they can do, and I think maybe Joe Biden may be afraid to do it. I'm not sure. Maybe he won't. Maybe he is. He's got to address it. He's got to come out and talk about it. He's got to do a speech like Barack Obama did about race. He's got to come out and tell people that he is going to deal with the issue of police reform in this country, and that what's happening now is happening under Donald Trump's watch, on Donald Trump's watch. And when he is the president, Kamala Harris is the vice president, then they will take care of this problem. But guess what? The rioting has to stop. Chris, as you know and I know, it's showing up in the polling.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing up in focus groups. It is the only thing, right now that is sticking. And the Democrats tonight stuck with that, right? And they also stuck with the theme that you said, the coronavirus. You got coronavirus and you have Kenosha.
So that's what Don Lemon said. You know, hey, the Democrats have to talk about this. You know, they've been hoping it would go away and they've been hiding it. By they, he means the very network he works for, not showing any of it. And then we had the situation yesterday where there were people locked inside a building where they then used cement to patch the door closed. And then they tried to light the building on fire. I mean, in my opinion, this is all reaction to something that we don't have the facts yet. And you can't tell me that burning a car dealership, that looting a Target, is in the name of George Floyd. That's not doing George Floyd any good. That's not in the name of George Floyd. You can protest and say that's in George Floyd's name, 100%. You can demand change. You can even wear a slogan on your shirt. Looting a Target's not going to bring any change. Burning down a furniture store is not going to bring any change. So we've gotten past the point of where this is for a cause. The protest, obviously for a cause. And again, you'll never hear me say anything bad. But you start to deter people from the message when you're just burning a city down to the ground. And politicians are really failing their cities, their states, when they don't accept the help of the federal government, when they just keep letting it happen. And they're also doing a disservice to their community when they come out with a stance. They have no facts to back it up. When they just point their finger at the police with no facts to back it up, no evidence. It's a real disservice, and it's completely irresponsible. So we'll see how that's addressed, because I think Don Jr. so far had said it best when he said when he mentioned the riots and he mentioned what was going on in the cities, and we'll see if it gets addressed again tonight. But, you know, to do all this in the name of Jacob Blake, and you don't have any of the facts yet. You have a 30-second video shot with an iPhone that, in the video I saw, was a man resisting arrest and then reaching in his car. It baffles me that not one politician on the left has said, well, you know, we wouldn't have an issue here if Jacob Blake hadn't resisted arrest. LeBron James wants to know what the cops could have done to subdue, as he said, this man that was resisting arrest. But like I said, hey, we'll see when the facts come out. We can do a show on evidence and on facts. My point here today is it's irresponsible by our politicians, by our media, and our public figures. And they're really letting us down. That's who they're letting down. Now, when we come back, I would like to talk about the RNC. Night 3 tonight, Mike Pence is speaking. There's a few other speeches that I'm looking forward to. So we're going to play some clips. I never was able to react to what happened last night. So we're going to do that to wrap it all up. It's Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly on WBEN. Studio. Final segment here. Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly. News Radio 930 WBEN. If you are just joining us, lots been going on today. The NBA, no playoff games today. The players are boycotting. The Reds and Brewers will not be playing today. They're boycotting. All over the Jacob Blake incident in Wisconsin, again, with no evidence. No results of an investigation. So instead of waiting to see what an investigation brought out, instead of waiting to see what the facts are, they're going to boycott. Do they just want the officers to be charged, arrested with no investigation, with no facts? Seriously? Jack in Cheektowaga. Jack, good afternoon.
Hey, afternoon, Beaver. You know, I was actually just calling in regards to the Blake situation, and I just want to remember, you know, and remind people of a little thing that we have in the United States called due process of law for both Mr. Blake and the officers involved, okay? Second, I did want to commend you for earlier listening. I did hear Drew, I believe his name was, called in as a supporter of BLM. That's what we need, all right? You want to fix the divide in this nation. You want to fix the divide in this community. You need people to reach out onto the other side and find a grassroots connection, all right? Because there's one there. No matter where you look, we all are connected one way or the other, and we can all learn something from somebody. I don't care what everyone's opinion is. You know, my stance is I'm a constitutional conservative, okay? So... and I'm very much in love with my nation. I'm very patriotic. But also what we tend to forget is, when are we going to look to the Lord? Because our Constitution was built around Judeo-Christian values. And as we lose these Judeo-Christian values, we lose ourselves and we lose our nation. So I just once again want to thank you. And I did want to point out due process of law. And if Drew is still listening, which I hope he is, I want to thank him for calling in and potentially over the line, maybe we can have more dialogue to fix this nation.
Yeah, Jack, thanks for the call, man. And that's where it all starts. And that's my point. I actually just tweeted out, I really do like hearing all opinions. All sides. You know, that's the beauty of this country, is we all have our own opinions. And to just shut those people out. And I'm not talking about on the radio. I mean, in life in general. To just shut those people out because they don't have the same opinions is ridiculous. And I hope we can have that discussion. And if you're listening, you know, I'm in the next week and a half, 3 to 7. I'm in for Tom. And I really do hope those who disagree with me will just call in and have a conversation. I'm not going to try to change your mind. We're not going to yell at each other. We're just going to have a nice, friendly, back and forth conversation. Discuss our differences. Jack said it perfectly. Dialogue. And hopefully that will translate outside the radio station too. And people will hear my conversation and say, you know what? I'm going to reach out and have a conversation with someone who disagrees with me. So yeah, I'm happy Drew called in. Hopefully Drew can tell his liberal friends, hey, you know what? Joe will let you on and you can say anything you want. I mean, within the FCC regulations, obviously, within reason, we can have that conversation. I think that's brutally important, especially in an election year when we are so divided, okay? And with everything going on with the protests and with the riots, I think it's nice to have that outlet where we can talk to each other. An outlet where, yeah, I disagree with everything this guy's saying on the radio, but you know what? I can call in and get my opinion out there and we can have a conversation about our differences. It's the same reason I stress to watch CNN, watch network news, watch, even if you know there's that bias there, watch Rachel Maddow every now and then, just to get that other perspective. I think it's really important. Instead of just shutting out the other opinion, shutting out people who disagree with you, embrace them. Embrace the difference. And maybe we'll be able to work on closing that divide. Because the division on political lines in this country, we can't go on like that forever. No matter who wins in November, we're going to have to be able to walk outside, talk to our neighbor, even if our neighbor's a huge liberal. Or if you're a liberal and your neighbor's a huge conservative. You got to be able to have conversations with them. And yes, conversations without just yelling. Again, I think the best way to go into these conversations with people who politically disagree with you is don't go in like, I'm going to change their mind. Don't ever do that. Just, you know, I want them to know where I'm coming from. And hopefully after this, I can see where they're coming from. So, Jack, thanks for the call, and thanks for all the calls today. Really great calls, great texts on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. And like I said, if you know someone who does not agree with me, who might not listen to the station regularly, please tell them to tune in the next few days and to call in. And whatever we're talking about, I'd like to get their perspective on it. Obviously, with the RNC going on, I think politics will be on the agenda tomorrow, previewing the president's speech. So, again, I think that's important. Some of you are probably saying, Joe, just get on with it. But that's that. Now, as I kicked off the segment, I said we were going to talk previewing the RNC tonight. But first, this happened in California. And I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that finds this a little bit humorous. But Gavin Newsom was giving his COVID-19 press conference. And someone asked him about his ex-wife's speech at the RNC.
Hi, Governor. Since nobody has asked this yet, I will jump on the grenade on behalf of everybody.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
I'm curious if you are watching the RNC and if you had a response to your ex-wife who said in prime time the other night that California is a land of discarded heroin needles and parks, riots and streets and blackouts and homes.
This may leave you wanting, but let me first acknowledge that I appreciate you saying landing yourself on the grenade. And let me just extend appreciation for your effort to get my response, and I respectfully defer to the next question.
Hey, someone had to ask it. Someone had to ask it, and I'm glad they did. Now, we talk about the RNC being tonight, and Vice President Pence will be speaking tonight at the RNC. There will be some other speeches. You won't want to miss it. And like I said, if you're going to watch it tonight, watch it on CNN. Watch it on something else that's going to give you that other point of view than you may be used to. And I have to say, again, I applaud CNN for I applaud CNN for showing as much of the thing as they had. Here is a general look at the RNC tonight.
Tonight's program, we're told, will likely be heavy on messages of military and law enforcement, the theme being Land of Heroes. Also tonight, Vice President Mike Pence is speaking. We're told his address will be an optimistic look at life under President Trump and all they've accomplished in the past 3.5 years.
So that will be tonight, starting at 8:30 on the radio.com app. Here's what Chris Christie had to say yesterday. Now, Melania, I thought, gave a great speech. But of course, you know, it wasn't without criticism, because Melania gave it at the White House, and the Trump family, in the midst of coronavirus, is doing some of the RNC at the White House. If he had gone anywhere, they would have complained about him traveling wherever during coronavirus. So the president can't do any right. We know that. So, of course, instead of focusing on her speech, CNN had to talk about the optics of the White House and how that was in poor taste and how it was illegal and they should investigate it. Of course, let's just have another taxpayer draining investigation in D.C. But I thought Melania gave a great speech. I thought there were some great speeches throughout the RNC yesterday, including the Kentucky Attorney General, the first African-American Attorney General in Kentucky, gave a great speech yesterday. Here's what Chris Christie had to say about Melania Trump.
She was authentic. She was honest, and they were her words, and you could tell they were her words. She talked at length about the racial crisis in this country, at length about the COVID crisis in this country, and made the pitch for her husband being the best person to solve those problems. There's no doubt in my mind that the president would much rather be in Charlotte, North Carolina, in front of an arena of 20,000, you know, fans who were, you know, cheering him on. But we all have had to make adjustments because of this crisis. You saw the big difference in the Democratic convention last week as well. The White House is the safest, least expensive place for the president to be doing this.
Someone actually tweeted about, you know, this is awful. This is, you know, and one of the tweet response was, I'm a Democrat. But I'll tell you, out of all the things, this doesn't offend me at all. We are in the middle of a pandemic. I think they should be able to use their home to do their speech from. So I thought that was nice. Like, okay, at least I'm not just seeing it with my bias. This is a guy who obviously does not like the president saying, hey, they can use that. They can use the White House. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Everyone else is on their Zoom meeting giving a speech. Michelle Obama, who recorded her speech 3 months ago before the convention from her, you know, multi-million-dollar home in Cape Cod. But that was fine. That was all good. So, yeah, we'll see more of the RNC tonight. Again, if you want to listen to it, Bill and Eden said yesterday he likes to listen instead of watch the RNC. You can listen to every second of it on the radio.com app. You can also listen to this show on demand, David Bellavia's show on demand, this station live on the radio.com app. All right, I want to go back for the end here, and I know people are going to get mad. Joe, you're talking sports. You have a station down the hall that talks sports. But I think this goes into what we were talking about earlier. So I would like to finish talking about the NBA boycotting. Because, again, I'd like to know, what does this accomplish? You're boycotting the playoff games for what? You know, again, we don't have the facts of what happened in Wisconsin yet. You don't know if it was not a justified action by the police. Why don't you wait for the investigation? And I would say that to the same people who want to say Jacob Blake is 100% to blame. Now, the video I saw a man resisting arrest. but that is a 30-second iPhone video I saw. I will wait for the facts. I will wait for the investigation before I say that Jacob Blake was in the wrong. And I think it would be responsible for the NBA to do. But now the NBA has called it quits on today's games and possibly the entire season. Possibly the entire season, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski.
You know, there's a meeting tonight among players in the bubble to talk about where they go from here. As one player told me today, and other executives absolutely believe that the season's in jeopardy.
Season's in jeopardy.
They certainly have access, and I think they've made it clear to the players. They have access, you know, through their channels to, you know, key political figures and those in law enforcement in Wisconsin. And I think they have wanted all along to be very clear and open to their players about that. The best player, the league's reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, is a global basketball icon. And I would be very confident that this decision was made with him, you know, very much sure. In favor of it, given, you know, his stature on that team.
Again, that was ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski speaking with Rachel Nichols over on ESPN. So no NBA playoffs tonight. The NHL had their first game. The Islanders came back from a 3-0 deficit just to lose in overtime. Baseball, remember I started the show with positives before the county executive had to take those positives away. But I was talking about all the positives. You know, every MLB team is playing today. College football starting this weekend. Well, the Brewers decided, no, they're not going to play tonight.
You know, it's something that we need to continue to talk about. It's something that can't just stay quiet, and it's nothing that we can just put behind us. You know, that's something that all of us, we have to continue to voice and, you know, bring light to this situation that we have, because it's a big thing. Enormous, Stan, you know, just a, it's more than sports, you know. That's one of the things. It's not, and they showed it, you know. It's not about the game. It's more than that. And you know, this is a time where, you know, we need to, you know, really not stay quiet and, you know, show our and empower our voices.
So the Brewers Reds won't be playing. The NBA has postponed all their games, and guess what? They're gonna postpone tomorrow's too.
Teams who are playing tomorrow are already talking amongst themselves today about whether they will play. You know, there's three more games tomorrow. I think the tenor of that meeting with the players tonight, there will be certainly conversations with the Players Association. They've been ongoing with the league office. You know, it is premature to say that we have seen the last NBA game this year, but listen, these players and these organizations, they are serious here about these issues.
So what is the result they want? Again, I'm going to go back to the question I asked at 3 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, and now at 6:54. What do they want? They want the cops to be charged and prosecuted with no evidence? Again, let the investigation play out. And I would say that if it was everyone calling in saying it was all Jacob Blake's fault. Let the investigation play out. But no, they're going to boycott the NBA. Now you have MLB teams boycotting. It's rush to judgment. We can't just sit back. We can't pump the brakes and wait to see what the investigation, what the facts are. It's all about, it should be about the facts. But our politicians jumped right to it. Our media jumped right to it, and now our public figures are jumping right to it. Well, I'll be back here tomorrow morning with David Bellavia at 9 o'clock, and then again, In for Tom at 3. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for the calls. Thank you for the texts. I appreciate hearing from everyone. Again, if you disagree with me, I would love to hear your call. We can have a great conversation. If you agree with me, I also appreciate your call as well. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Buffalo, have a great evening. Enjoy those sounds of rain as you try to go to bed tonight. We have a few storms moving in. They'll be with us throughout the night and early tomorrow. So stay safe. We'll see you tomorrow morning starting at 5 a.m. with Susan and Brian. Have a great evening, Buffalo. I love you. Sean Hannity is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.